brought to you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to The Ooze.
Upon decaying every foul wicked spirit in the host, The Ooze.
20 minutes, that gorilla bay, on The Ooze, spread out.
On The Ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really happen to have a serial crime
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
All right, it's that time again, and you're listening to The Ooze Outbreak Edition. What's going on, TC? How you been tonight, man?
I've been doing pretty good, Jay. What's up, man? What's new?
Not much, just another week, and just going to be talking about some kooky religions this week. We're going to be talking about some weird religions, things that kind of caught our eye. We thought it'd be an interesting topic, and religion is, in and of itself, kind of a weird subject. There's always kind of weird, you know, caveats and variations and everything else. Even the most mainstream religions, there's some strange things going on. But we're going to try to go out to the fringe tonight and talk about some really weird, kind of really, really obscure religions. And if you folks want to call in during the show and share your experiences, either weird religious experiences that you've had with, you know, mainstream religions or things that you've come across in your own reading, your own research, or, you know, if you go with some weird religious practices or religions out there, the phone number is 347-989-1371. So you can give us a call. We'll get you on the air live. And we definitely want to hear from you about your different religions. So before we kick off into this, man, you got some new artwork up, right?
Yeah, I do, actually. The piece is called Cthulhu, and it was actually in the process of being made yesterday while I was doing the show. I was at the same time just kind of putting up the final touches on it, so to speak, and connecting the idea.
So for those of you who want to check this piece of artwork out, TC does a lot of different kinds of artwork. He's getting into more traditional artwork, or at least he had been. But this is more one of his digital pieces, and I really dig his digital work. I dig his traditional work, too. The man's a master of manipulating different images and mixing different colors and doing different things with digital artwork. So you want to check this out. It's kind of an homage to one of our favorite people. So check that out. It is rife with meaning, this image and everything else. So definitely check this piece out and shoot TC a message. Let him know what you think of this piece of artwork. I thought it was, I think it's great, man.
Right on.
I look at it with a big smile on my face.
You know, the thing of it is, man, and I mentioned this before we actually went on the air, I really debated on adding one particular element to it, and I was afraid that I would limit the many different ideas that I was trying to express in one fair swoop. So, you know, for those of you who feel like there's possibly the need for a floating used tampon, It's not there for good reason.
And it's subtle too. That's what I like about it.
Yeah,
man. Go ahead.
You would never know.
So we're gonna talk about some religions here. And I also wanted to give just props out to our girl Lexi, our secretary or whatever, who's been organizing the shows and everything else. She put up the show description. I think this is her. The show description: are you wielding a lightsaber in the name of Jediism? How about a taxi driver who fancies yoga? The Eurythmist Society? I never heard of this group. So she went and did some research to just figure out what to put as an introduction for this show. She did some digging. So kudos to her, and thanks for putting all that together for us.
Right on. Lexi's done, actually, she's done a super job doing the secretary thing, man. Only thing is, I think that I need to pay a little more attention to what topics are actually being put up. I mean, she does the right thing. She schedules everything. She sends me a copy of what the roster is for, you know, as long as we've got it planned at this point in time. And if it updates, she updates me. The problem is that I'm, I guess, really kind of spoiled now by this, and I'm not even reading what the hell the topics are when I get the email. It's not until a couple of days later I look and go, oh, shit, I really don't want to talk about that. But that's okay. That's kind of what happened yesterday. We were talking about numerology. It's just not something that fancies me at all. I mean, I've got some resonance with certain numbers, but do I believe there's to be some greater magical system attached to them? Well, I guess that's just setting the stage for what I would call a weird religion. So.
Right on, right on. And if we were to do it on this episode, too, it would have been just a countdown of here's this number, and here's the crazy shit that's associated with that, and yeah, I could... I agree with you. I really don't have a lot of interest in numerology, but there are people who do, and there are people that make some heavy, heavy connections with different numbers and different things going on. And so I've always been dependent that when you start looking for something, you find it. So if it's in your head that you're going to see that 111 was the number for a long time, for a while that people were seeing everywhere, and well, yeah, if you're looking for it, you're going to see it. You're going to see that number 23 or whatever. So, but I hear you, man. I couldn't see you talking for a whole hour about numerology. Now, was that Matt's idea? Was that Dark Fool's idea, or whose idea was that?
It was Dark Fool's idea, yeah. And what's worse, you know, Dark Fool usually does a really, really good job doing his homework and everything, but he had been ill last week and I guess didn't put the kind of effort that he normally does into it, so he didn't have shit to say about it. Yeah, but we did learn how Jason King cooks chicken wings. He did give us a very, very thorough lesson.
Well, you got an hour to kill. You do what you got to do.
Right on. Well, you know, the thing of it is, the people, I'm sure, are always convinced that he did it by hellfire, but he admits that it's in a stove.
Right on. Right on. I think Jason King would just, you know, call down the fire, man, and make that shit happen. But he uses a stove. I'm very conventional of him.
Yeah. Just goes to show, you know, if you have a good tool, there's no reason to replace it.
Right. So this show idea, this weird religious show idea, this is something that that I was kicking around and I kind of wanted to do. And what got me thinking about this, and other major cities in the nation have had similar rallies. There's similar, here in Texas, or maybe even here in Austin, I'm not sure exactly which it is. The city ordinances that deal with public nudity do not include or specifically exclude women being topless. So in Austin, Texas, women are allowed by law to be topless. I know in other places in the nation, if a woman's topless unless she's breastfeeding, it's considered obscene, which I think is just ridiculous. But, you know, that's the way it is. So here in Austin, Texas, and of course, you know, we're known for the kind of, you know, we're the kooky center of Texas, not as conservative or, you know, uptight as the rest of the state. But here in Texas, Tippieville, or in Austin, Texas, they decided to have this rally where, while it's not it's not illegal for women to be topless in Austin, Texas, there of course is still that stigma that you know, a topless woman, and this is, chicks do this to themselves, I think, too. That, you know, if you got a woman who's walking around and she's a little too showy, she's got a little too much cleavage going, maybe something slips or whatever. All the women around her, they're the ones giving her dirty looks. They're the ones getting shitty about it and everything else. That's just the way chicks operate. That's based on what I've seen. So, you know, that's the way it goes. But there was a rally where women were supposed to come to the Capitol building. And the Capitol building here in Austin, Texas It looks just like the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., except it's larger, because everything fucking is bigger here in Texas. Also, our Capitol building is pink. It's made of this pink marble or whatever. But anyways, they wanted everybody to come to the Capitol building, and these women were going to get topless to kind of have this rally, and not against the law, because there's no law for it, but this rally against our social kind of puritanical ideals. Okay, so these women are going to get together, they're going to basically get topless. All right? Now, you would think this was a good thing, but the war hags that showed up and got topless for the crowd, the six or seven of them, there was only like six or seven of them, lots of dudes came out to cheer them on. But the six or seven of them that came out, man, it was pretty quick. You wanted them to put their shirts back on because there was you weren't seeing anything good. There was nothing going on there that you could be happy about as a man. So other than, they may be a little bit more comfortable. Now, where this long introduction is going is that this group, these women, they weren't necessarily a feminist organization or a political organization. They're actually backed by this religion called the Raelian Movement. Now, the Raelian Movement is this this religion that was founded, I want to say back in the 60s or 70s, here it is, 1973, when extraterrestrials visited Claude Borillon, he's a French auto car racer. They come visit Claude, and they let Claude know that they created humanity, that they're here to, they want to impart the wisdom of the space brothers to human beings, that the Elohims, what they call themselves, is alien species, and what they wanted him to do was to get the message out that God loves everybody, that we're being watched by our extraterrestrial brothers and sisters, and that sensuality is the highest form of worship, that everybody should get naked and fuck. And that's the gist of the Raelian religion, and I thought it was interesting that this group of kooks, basically, kicking around against this 1973, that they actually have a political branch that's performing these rallies. I mean, this rally to be topless on the Congress Avenue here in the front of the Capitol building was this fringe religion's way of doing a little advertising. Come check out these chicks' boobs. Here are the Raelians. We're the Raelian Movement, and we're still around. So that's what kind of got me going on this show.
That's very cool. That is cool. Didn't they kind of spoof off of that in that movie, Dude, Where's My Car?
See, I haven't seen Dude, Where's My Car because I only watch good movies. No, I don't know, man. They may have spoofed off that religion. Which the Raelians, man, I mean, there's some weird stuff going on there. They, of course, and it's a lot of it it's just as many people as you can get into this to have sex. It's like a swingers club with a church going on behind it. What's kind of weird or kind of flaky about the Raelian religion is when it first kicked off, okay, their symbol was a Star of David, which is the six-sided star. It's the triangle pointing up, the triangle pointing down. They're superimposed on top of one of another. There's a whole bunch of symbolism behind that, and you guys can take that and Google if you want. But what they've done is at the center of that Star of David, they placed a swastika. Okay, so right off the bat, they're trying to merge this very ancient religious practice, this very ancient religious symbol, with its opposite. Okay, so I don't know if that's some heavy thinking going on, that there's some heavy mysticism going on there, or just sheer ridiculousness that they would be so blind to the social ramifications of trying to merge those two symbols together, the resistance they would meet. And that resistance apparently did influence them to change the symbol. They changed the symbol, they got rid of the swastika, and now they got this little swirly symbol in the middle of a six-sided star representing time. But originally they wanted to heal the rift, basically, between the Hebrew nation, the nation of Jews, and the swastika and the Nazi past or whatever, Apparently they saw that as a big rift in humanity and they wanted that corrected.
Right on. Wow.
Yeah. So, let's see. There's they promised guilt-free sex. I'm looking through the notes here. They're talking about the swastika and the Star of David, that it appeared in every great tradition on every continent. For example, it was found on the Tibetan Book of the Dead, on the tombs of the first Christians, on the ancient Hebrew scriptures in Rome, and the west wall of the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris. So they're talking about the swastika. They're talking about trying to reclaim it, basically. The Star of David represents infinity of space that was above and is like that which is below. The extraterrestrials, creators of humanity and laboratories, have proven scientifically that the infinity small is of the same magnitude as the infinity great. The atoms of our hand, for instance, are but a minuscule gathering of galaxies made up of planets which humanity is smaller than ours exist. Thus, the galaxies we are looking at in the sky are but an immense formation of atoms which form a gigantic world so on to infinity.
Wow.
So, yeah, interesting stuff.
I think that's kind of played out a little bit in the second Men in Black movie.
Yeah,
with the little necklace thing that the kitty cat wears.
Right on.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know, here I thought
and
we were...
What's that?
Oh, I said, here I thought we were going to be talking about, like, AA. I mean, come on, let's admit it. That is a religion.
Oh, yeah, AA is a religion. Definitely. A 12-step program. You know what atheism AA is, right?
What's that?
Atheism AA, they just put the shit down. It only has one step. You just stop doing it. That's it. That's AA for atheists. You just stop.
You just stop, huh?
Right.
Here I am. Thought it was there is no beer.
So I was gonna say one other thing about the railing religion before we move on. One of the things they like to do, or they've been doing, is while they haven't actually created a UFO, part of their deal is when they build a temple or they build a church, it is shaped like a UFO, the classic flying saucer design. So these are things. They'll either be a UFO on the land that they use for their get-togethers, or the building itself will be shaped like a UFO. So crazy shit, the aliens.
Right on, man. I mean, that is crazy shit.
Yeah, I should look at the switchboard and see if anybody's called in. So, anyways, if you want to call in about your encounters with crazy religions, religious aliens. And that's the other thing. There's a whole bunch of religions out there where aliens come down to deliver the good word. And I didn't realize the extraterrestrials, between anal probes and, you know, blasting monsters from outer space, that they were also passing out the Watchtower, apparently, that aliens go around, you knock door to door, and, you know, here's a copy of the Watchtower. Have you heard the good news about Jesus Christ? So next time you see those dudes riding around their bicycles with the white shirt and the black ties with the... you know, it's a pair of young guys always, you know. There's probably aliens, so see if you can catch a ride to Pluto or whatever, those guys. Really invite them in. Anyways, 347-989-1371. If you want to save this show, while we're talking about religions, if you got something you want to speak on about religions, or if you've run into some kooky religions, we definitely want to hear from you, or weird religious experiences, things about mainstream religions that maybe not our common knowledge to a lot of people. We'd definitely love to hear from you. If you don't have a religion that you want to kind of kick off on for a little while, man, I've got another one.
Why? I'm just curious. Why do you think it is that there are so many alien-based religions?
I think throughout history, there's always been a need for these religious symbols to be more than symbols, more than a spiritual experience, that they've needed these symbols to have some sort of physical presence. So, you know, even way back, you know, in biblical times, Angel showed up physically to wrestle with whoever, or carry the fiery sword or whatever. That it's just a need, man. It's like it's less believable if the spirit of God showed up. No. His thug Guido showed up to kick some ass. He was here physically. We took pictures of him and shit. So I think there's a need for a physical presence. And then when we got into, the 40s and 50s with the ideas of extraterrestrials, then you could actually place a kind of physicality to these same experiences, to these same ideas of spirituality. So I think it's just, wishful thinking and self-deceit that leads to, it's the same, same process has been going on in religion for, since forever.
Right on. Well, I mean, I've heard that there's a cult of Trippy the Clown in California, but, I mean, that's unconfirmed at this point.
Okay, but Trippy the Clown, is a real deity. You can reach out and touch faith with Trippy the Clown, it's these other things, it's kind of, he showed up but you just missed him or whatever. So, definitely.
But, strange religions, man. You can't talk about weird religions without talking about Scientology. Them fuckers are just about as weird as it gets, in my opinion.
And it only gets, the more they try to reverse themselves, the more they try to cover up and become legitimate, the weirder it gets. Scientology with their whole, it's another religion based on aliens. And Ron Hubbard, I'm gonna say that this was a quote, but of course the Scientologists have denied that this was a quote. Now, Ron Hubbard apparently said something along the lines of, if he had discovered religion as a source of income earlier, he would never have written a book. Okay, that Ron Hubbard freely admitted that Scientology was just a means for him to make money. I haven't read actually any of his science fiction, so I don't know how good that was. I did read Dianetics years and years ago, and just found it was like this massive paperback commercial. Never ever gets to anything. It only tells you about what could happen if you get into Scientology, if you dig a little harder. So there's nothing ever concrete in the Dianetics book. It was a big deal too back in the 80s, or 90s, or early 90s, whatever it was, way back when. But the ends they'll go to counter any resistance to their ideas, any effort to kind of expose them. I think we talked about another show that there's this group Anonymous. It's kind of this, internet movement or whatever. And these people really have an issue with Scientology. And while these guys will go out on a public street in front of a Scientology temple or whatever, and they'll protest, they'll have signs or whatever, there might only be four or five of them. Okay, well, if you're a regular religion, more often than not, as long as they're not on your property, as long as they're not damaging anything of yours, you could care less about what they're doing out there. You just keep doing your thing. That's you're above all of that. But these Scientology kooks, they actually, got out and tried to talk them off the public street, and then started following them when they walked to leave or whatever. Follow them in the car, and to that extent, trying to intimidate these people, let them know that you're not going to fuck with Scientology. And again, this is a religion founded on science fiction. It's a religion founded on the idea that we were at one time alien beings, or we have these alien parasites attached to us. That there's some sort of intergalactic space war that goes on, and alien souls were deposited on Earth kind of as a prison or something, and the whole religion's about clearing these thetans off of you and everything else, these alien parasites. So crazy stuff. For my money, if I want to know everything there is to know about Scientology that's worth knowing, that episode of South Park. They were telling the story, and then the bottom of the screen, they kept flashing, they really believe this. That's all you need to do, man, is just watch that episode.
Right on, man. I actually, I was fortunate enough or unfortunate enough, and still am, that I live a matter of moments from the birthplace of Scientology, Clearwater, Florida. It's very disturbing, in fact, just to watch these people who are all dressed exactly alike, with their hair done exactly the same way, crossing the street, carrying all of these official-looking clipboards and backpacks and whatever else. For a long time, I remember as a teenager speculating with my friends that they were taking notes of everybody that lived in the area, and that they knew more about you than you knew about yourself.
You might have been right too. They might have just—who knows, man? And that type of group think too just always blows my mind. That type of, you know, herd mentality. It's a cult mentality where you're encouraged to basically turn over any sense of self to this organization. You give up being you, and instead you be whatever it is, you're a part of the group, a part of that system. It's just, that's a little too much for me to handle, especially, you know, as a red-blooded American, as an individualist. That's again, anathema to me. I couldn't even fathom, you know, thinking that way and being a part of something like that.
Right. It's just crazy, too, man. I mean, there were all kinds of wild rumors. There were rumors that when you first got into there, they sent you to these conditioning classes where you watch these specially modified films that are meant to enact in a psychological way on you, you know, like some kind of hypnotic properties to them or whatever. I mean, it's just crazy. One thing I found really funny, when I was like 18 and working at the deli in Publix, and there was this girl who came to the counter, and, you know, we were kind of talking back and forth, exchanging smiles or whatever. And I asked her out, and she said that she couldn't date me, and I asked her why, and she said because she's a Scientologist, and she's not allowed to pick who she dates.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, so it's like sort of breeding program or something.
It's something like that. I mean, it is heavy, man, when you sit and ponder that shit. I mean, for me, it was like getting hit with a bus. My jaw just, like, hit the ground. I mean, I wasn't quite sure if she was totally putting me on or if she was really that psychotic.
Well, and even the Amish, with their own children, when they reach a certain age, the Amish say, you know, go do your thing. Go, you know, go experience whatever it is you're going to go experience, because we want you to be sure that if this is the religion for you, if you're going to be part of our society, that you know what it is you're missing out on, so there's no question in your mind that this is what you want to do. So, yeah, to have a religion where, I mean, I understand the mentality of that, of going, okay, this is your community, and you're going to, you know, exchange and relate with only those within the community, because we need to keep it, you know, keep it in the house or whatever. But that goes a little far, you know. It's one thing to encourage it for congregants to, you know, get together and have families. It's another thing to demand it, to make it mandatory.
Right. I mean, yeah, I thought that was always crazy. Like, I always try to figure out, because I know one of the things, you got to give up, everything, all your worldly possessions to you know, prepare yourself for Xenu or whatever the hell they call it. But Tom Cruise, he don't seem broke, you know. Nicole Kidman, she's not looking too poor either, so... You know, it looks to me like an upside-down money cipher, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, John Travolta, all of them. It'd be one thing if you forked over all of your worldly possessions and you at least got to go on the cruise ship with all these people, if you got to enjoy all the amenities that all these people get to enjoy. But that's definitely not the case. And I remember, again, this is back in the 90s, because I'm an old fart, there was a big to-do, and this is something I always thought weird about any religion like this, where they had somebody who was sick or was ill, and instead of, you know, I think with Scientology, it was probably a psychological illness, and not to say that the Scientologists are all insane, they all have some sort of neurosis, you know, may be the case, but that's not what I'm saying. It's just that this person had some sort of illness, and the suggestion was that this person needed to be on some sort of, you know, psychotropic medicine, you know, some sort of antidepressants or something like that. But this is what they needed. And the Scientologist said, no, we're not doing that. We'll cure them with our little devices, and we'll get rid of all their datas, and we'll clear them, and that will take care of the issue. And then, of course, this person ends up dying, not as a result of the psychosis, but as a result of the forced treatments, the extreme treatments that the Scientologists were trying to use to prove that their theories were correct, that they could cure this person of whatever illness they had.
Right on. Right. I know it's weird. There was actually one girl who completely disappeared in the, I think it was the mid-80s.
Yeah, that, I'm sure there's several stories. And they've, like I said, they've since reversed a lot of the public information, the information that's come out about Scientology. They've tried to reverse their fundamental beliefs and to whitewash it and everything else to make it a little bit easier. But it's still there, I'm sure, that especially the deeper echelons, when you really get into it, they let you know. And it is a money, just like you said, it is a money-grabbing kind of situation. They take people who have, they're desperate. They have no sense of self already. They have nothing, they feel out of place. You talk about Satanism having, a Klingon misfits. These people are misfits, and all of a sudden they go someplace where they fit in. Well, yeah, to get that feeling of fitting in and belonging and being special, these people are willing to give up everything they own, even though it's not, it's not very much, willing to give up all the worldly possessions just to continue to have that feeling. I mean, it's almost, I'm assuming, almost addictive.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree that it's almost addictive. That's
all right,
that's
so
why.
Go ahead, dude.
Oh, real quick, I was going to say that's why I only endorse the cult of Trippy the Clown, man.
Because at least if you're getting addicted to something, the cult of Trippy the Clown, you know what the hell it is, and you volunteer for that shit.
Yeah, it's all about beer, drugs, booze, and women.
So we got a caller. Let me go ahead and bring the caller on the line. 941 area code, you were on the ooze. It was on your brain, man.
Hey, Jason. ATC, it's Ron French.
French.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Great. Funny you should mention about unique religions. My organization pretty much lists everybody up there. And in my last site, we had a lady who I lost touch with, and she was from the Pacific Islands. And as Americans, we have religious holidays and Hallmark holidays and pretty much a holiday for everything and anything. And she was saying, in her, where she lived, their island had holidays that were based upon the volcano god that they actually, their ancestors worshipped, which, of course, would be almost unheard of here, but I was surprised that they still carried on some type of tradition in that remark, in their historical, the past dogma or the mores of what they used to do, and they carried it on even till today.
Right on.
And I bump into that, and I'm friends with a lady who started the Temple of Hemotep, or the Temple of Ra, which they worship Hemotep. And so she's carrying on a newer tradition, if you would, to the Egyptian mythos in the traditional Egyptian way. I'm sure she's done some research in the archaeology of how certain Egyptian gods were worshipped. Which was kind of funny because I had to sit her down and explain to her that the Temple of Set was not really Temple of Set.
Sure,
it was a satanic group that used Set as a representation of their belief system. So she did a scratch of the head and trying to figure that one out. But I told her that they really aren't—they're really not Egyptian in the context that she's doing it. I have over 40 different belief systems listed, and the recent two were even in a description about the Jedi and the Sith. There's about roughly seven or nine Jedi belief systems, ideologically comparative, but there's a lot of differences, which kind of reminds me of other minority belief systems. And ironically enough, there's only about one or two Sith belief systems that are out there, all based, of course, with Lucas's Star Wars. But, yeah, I have, you know, hands-on experience with the minority belief systems, and, you know, some of them are a little bit more stranger than others, but they still exist.
Right on. Well, and it's, you know, it's been my observation, basically, that all religions have at one point started out as a kooky belief system, that every religion, you know, Christianity, just right off the bat, was considered a cult, was considered a wacko cult when it was first kicking around Rome, when it first actually was starting to reach out to the Gentiles. You know, nobody wanted to be a Christian when it all got, when it all started out. You know, it was a revolutionary cult, you know, for the Jews in occupied Israel. So, you know, all religions start out as kooky, start out as weird. It's the religions whose practices that no matter how much time go by, no matter how much social interaction they have, that they never develop acceptance in those practices, that, you know, they stay kooky, obviously. You know what you should do, I know you're in the chat room, if you could put a link to your site, since you're on here and talking about, you know, how you got access to all these different groups and everything else, I'm sure it'd be worthwhile for some people if they want to do some research on not just necessarily kooky religions, but a variety of different religious beliefs, just kind of broaden their mind. That'd be kind of cool.
All right, we'll do. That sounds like a good idea. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Well, thanks for calling in.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Rock on. Too funny.
All right. So, yeah, definitely. And that's the thing, too. You know, we're talking about all these different weird religions, and they're weird only in the context that socially they do things that aren't necessarily accepted. So, I'm sure for the Raelians and for the Scientologists, everybody else is the weird ones. Now, you know, in the case of Scientology, they're dead fucking wrong, but that's just because I have maybe a bias against Scientology. So, did you have another religion you want to talk about before I move on to my next bit?
At the moment, no, I don't, but I do want to throw out the call-in number. It's 347-989-1371. Just for any of you fuckers that want to call in and tell us about weird religions. What's the next bit, Jason? What's on your list, man?
Well, the next thing I kind of ran across, and I'm kind of reaching way back here, the Truth Missionaries Chapter of Positive Accord. This is set up by Archbishop Lynn Johnson in Illinois in 1973, and I'm trying to see if they're still kicking around. But part of their belief system, first of all, they talk about they have scientific proof. They have absolute truths that they, you know, and evidence basically is what they call it, absolute truths, that prove that their theories regarding the Christian religion are accurate. Now, one of their theories, and this isn't a new theory, this is something that has been discussed by other theologians and everything, is that there is not just a male God, but there is a female counterpart. Okay, so while sexuality amongst us human beings is very regulated and supposed to be very, you know, limited as far as the Christian mentality is concerned, the fundamental Christian mentality, I should say, God and his goddess are in heaven kicking it constantly, that there's always some sex going on in heaven between the God and goddess, okay? And they make a distinction. They want to make sure they make a distinction between their goddess, which they refer to as goddess and not the goddess, because they're not pagans in their belief system. They actually are very anti-pagan. They hate the whole pagan religion and neo-pagan thing going on. So this is something they oppose. But some of their theories include that, first of all, yeah, God, this goddess having sex in heaven all the time. that this goddess enables the conception of Jesus Christ, that Jesus was not celibate during his lifetime, that he was, you know, he was having sex. Of course, a lot of people kicking that theory around, but that it was due to the goddess giving him a second birth that he was able to rise from the cross. So you're taking some weird religious things going on in Christianity and making them even weirder with this sort of set of religious beliefs. And now you've got Jesus and Daddy God and Yahweh having sex with this goddess in heaven, keeping things going, you know, keeping things kicking around here on earth. So sort of a family three-way going on in heaven. This is what they believe in.
Right on. So it's an ancestral menage a trois that we're all a byproduct of. Is this what I'm gathering?
Well, it's not that we're a byproduct of the sexual menage a trois. It's that our salvation is attached to the ongoing, you know, incestual three-way that's going on in heaven right now. I got some of their. I actually have some of their materials here. The shorthand for their name, the Truth Missionary Chapter Positive Court, is TMC plus A, is a real New Age or Beyond It religion. Our religion is not a rehash of ancient superstitions and hallucinations. It is not pseudo-spirituality fantasy of intelligence functioning without physicalness, but non-physical identitiveness correlated with the natural physical factors of intelligence functioning united together. Yes, we recognize and worship a goddess, but she is not a flimsy spirit or pagan mythology. Rather, she is a goddess with almighty energy from supernatural physical truths, scientifically evidenced and biblically proven. Her sex activity enabled Jesus' conception and the ascension and more. Her holy energy preserves Jesus' corpse from decay and resurrected him. Our biblical proof also shows why Jesus was not God until she initiated with acts bringing divine equality, including sex. And these proofs also tell why she and the original male person, who are God, are each co-savior with Jesus. We do not resort to ignorance or hypocrisy. Our literature is consistent with current scientific and biblical facts. So I think there's a little bit of, from what I just read there, I think there's a little bit of necrophilia going on, right? Because the way that she resurrected the dead Christ was through sex. So all kinds of freaky shit going on with this group.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I got a chill going down my spine from that shit.
Okay, looks like we got a caller on the line here. Let me go ahead and bring him on. Let's see, 818 area code, you're on the unit, it's on your brain. 818 area code, you are on. You're on for about another 5 more seconds.
I think that's Trippy the Clown, man.
Oh, is it?
Trippy. Gotta remember there's a couple seconds of lag going. Yeah, what the hell?
Hey, all anybody right. Hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, brothers?
Hey,
I just had to hop in here, man, and fucking say hello.
How's the Grand Poobah himself?
Right on.
The Beast! There he is. The Beast fucking rules.
Trippy. That's a bad dude right there, man.
Hey, there's a little lag, man, but you know, I can reach your hand through the darkness, brother. Anything that the Beast says fucking goes. This is fucking good in here. I like it in here. I'm boosting.
Badass. So, Trippy, what are you doing tonight, man?
Hey, thanks for giving me a place to go tonight, brother. And here I am, drinking beer, listening to some good talk, man. You're keeping my mind limber. And that's all I got to say, brother. Good job, man. And I'm in here hanging out. Fuck yeah. And everybody, the Beast fucking rules.
Fuck yeah, man.
And that's all I want everybody to know.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
Hey, thanks, Beast.
Keep it real,
I'm
man.
I'm here. I'm tuning in. I'm listening. But I'm going to hang up. I love listening to you guys, man. You get my brain sizzling. So I'll see you in there, brother. All hail the Beast. All hail the Beast.
Right on, man. Thanks for calling in.
Badass.
All right, cool. So I did pull up the one of the websites, apparently, because there's obviously different iterations of this Jedi Church thing. The one I'm looking at is www.jedichurch.org. Let's see what the Jedi Doctrine is. Let's see here. There's one all-powerful force that binds the entire universe together. It is an energy field created by all living things. It surrounds us, penetrates us, and binds the galaxy together. This is the concept that most religions of the world concur with. Some refer to it as their deity. Some refer to it as a life force. But the one thing nearly all religions agree with is that there exists a single unifying force. There are two sides to the force, the dark side and the light side. Beware of the dark side. The dark side leads to fear. Fear leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. Suffering leads to cheesecake. Good versus evil. I threw the cheesecake thing in there. It's not really... good versus evil is a common element through most religions. The issue of good versus evil, right versus wrong, permeates in the doctrines of all religions. Most religions attempt to state that what is right and wrong to establish their moral code. Sometimes religions make codes that don't reach a great consensus. Outsiders, and sometimes insiders, begin to judge their religious code by something more powerful, something more innate, an innate ability to know what is right or wrong. This is the Jedi's belief, that morality, good and evil, are all axioms of the Force. And that we must listen to the Force so that we will know the right thing to do. These are not the droids you want. So, that and the droid thing, I kicked in there because I'm a big Star Wars geek.
So now I know whose dick somebody was sucking when they were talking about raspberry cheesecake. Hmm.
Oh, jeez. I forgot. I'm sorry. That's something that those folks are bringing up, the whole cheesecake thing. Ridiculous. I just happen to like cheesecake. So, I mean, look at me. Look at my pictures. You know that I'm a big motherfucker. I like cheesecake. So,
I know you like cheesecake. I saw pictures from Las Pergas night.
Oh, yeah. That was a religious experience. You know what, dude? Poor Tim. Tim doesn't like that chick, man. I'm not going to name her name because, you know, some shit went down that night or whatever with her and other things going on. So I wanted to come back and try to do some shit, which is why you don't know who she is in those pictures. Her face is all blocked out. But poor Tim, he's getting down there on that cheesecake, and he does not like that chick. It was worth the photo op and everything else, but, yeah, that was closer to that woman than he ever wanted to be.
Okay.
So fun for me. Fun for me to see him kind of squirm and see all that shit go down. But yeah.
That's
good stuff, man.
Rock on.
So, what's that?
I'm just laughing because, you know, the sadist in me sympathizes completely with how satisfying that must have been.
Jeez. The ramifications are still being felt from that party. Kind of ridiculous.
Right on.
So yeah, here's this religion based on Star Wars. If you have a religion based on science fiction works of one particular author, you can have a religion based on Star Wars. I'm willing to bet there is a South Park church out there. I'm willing to there's a Family Guy episode where Peter sets up the Church of the Fonz, okay? So you can have a religion based on anything, and Star Wars, of course, having these religious, you know, overtures in it, you know, that just opens itself up to that whole possibility. I've seen videos of the different, you know, like weddings and everything else, where they actually have the bride walk through the crossed lightsabers and everything else. So that's just taking your whole role playing thing a little too far, in my opinion.
Right on, right on. Well, I mean, I imagine every idiot that sat in their basement with their, you know, gay friends and fucking played Dungeons and Dragons or one of those role-playing games has got some strange religion that they're doing. You know, there has to be a Pokemon, you know, revelation somewhere.
Yes. Speaking of weird religions, you know, yeah, Bin Laden and everything else. Osama Bin Laden, he's finally dead and everything else. Shot by 6 badass Navy SEALs. He gets to heaven, of course. The 72 virgins that are sitting around waiting for him are probably geeks from this church.
Right on.
Yeah, that joke sucked. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
So,
mine are bad all the time, dude. You're allowed to have one. I mean, I throw out the gayest jokes in the world, and, you know, only you catch them because you've known me so long. So,
we got 9 minutes left. 9 painful minutes left. I thought that we were going to have a little more fun with this and everything else. We kind of went to some fringe religions. This didn't go, there was a direction I didn't want this to go into. Kooky religions, which we have direct experience with. So I didn't want to do that. But if it had gone in that direction, I would have let it happen. But not our thing. But if you, I think the statement you've made artistically, subtle, powerful, moving. So if you haven't checked out that artwork, if you're thebeast.com, check out PC's artwork. I don't know if I want to riff on any more religions, man. I'm kind of I got a list of 10 extremely weird religions. I got one more, but I don't want to end the show on a down note, man.
Yeah.
And it would end the show on a down note. The Church of All Worlds. What's that?
Yeah, I was actually going to mention the Church of All Worlds, but I kind of thought myself, you know, maybe it might be better to talk about what weird religions we'd like to see. You know, like, for one, I don't understand why there's not a Temple of the Boobs, you know, like some huge montage of gathering of people worshiping breasts. I don't know why that doesn't exist. In fact, I think that should really, truly beat out, well, you know, all three of the big religions that are out there right now.
Yeah, I don't know if I have a particular religion in mind, but I'd like to see more communion received by women orally, the same way that Crowley used to give it, you know, per os domina, a religious movement that involves blowjobs. That would be that'd be one way to go.
There you go. So what we do is set up the Church of the Breast, and the way that you're christened into it, or the way that you take your communion is the blowjob. We're good right there. There's two steps.
Right. Blow your load on some breasts. That's considered one of the highest religious movements of this Church of the Breast.
Exactly.
It sounds like we got a working plan, man.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be like Temple of the Pearl Necklace or something.
There you go. Or the Rise of the Pearl Necklace.
Yeah, there we go. See, now these are the kind of things that we need.
Right.
But instead we've got aliens and invisible sky daddies that are sadistic.
Yeah, that's what they get. We get the Heaven's Gate shit where you wear a jumpsuit and cut off your junk. You know, not a religion where, you know, you just get a blowjob and get seen tits all the time.
Yeah, I mean, this is where the world has gone wrong. I think that we've solved all of the world's religious problems right here in these last couple minutes, man.
I think so. Peace through blowjobs and boobs. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, who wants to fight after a blowjob?
Right.
Nobody. We want to take a nap.
Right.
I mean, come on.
And, And if, you know, the women I talk to, bras are not comfortable, you know. So all we're doing is it works for everybody. Everybody's comfortable. Everybody's relaxed. You know, it's all good. You know, everybody gets a little bit of, you know, Holy Spirit rolling around in them, you know. Well, it's more of the chicks than the dudes. But yeah, sounds like a good time.
Right on. You know, and isn't that what religion's really supposed to be all about? Having a better life,
yeah.
A good time?
I can say, there are few experiences more profound, more religious than a blowjob.
Very few. Very few. The Temple of the Brown Eye, maybe, but, you know, that's for the few that like to walk down the darker path.
I'd say we just incorporate all that into a religious, you know, practice.
Yeah.
You know, that the Temple of the Boobs with, you know, the Rite of the Pearl Necklace, the Brown Eye Sacrament, yeah, all that.
Awesome. I like it. We're going to have to start a website up off of this, Jason. I'll buy the domain name tonight. I mean, really, to have a religion, all you need is a form, right?
Right, pretty much. Yeah. All you need is a forum, a message that sounds halfway good on a greeting card, and a bunch of suckers. That's all you need.
Literally, in our case.
There you go. Awesome.
Right on. As you can tell, I'm in a mood this weekend, man. Cthulhu, the Temple of the Boobs. I think I've got this going good.
Yeah, you're a poor chick, man.
She's avoiding me like a plague, man.
Oh, we got an offer in the chat room. Can I be a priestess in this religion? Somebody likes to suck a cock. That's nice. It's always nice to see.
Absolutely.
So, very cool.
I think that you should have to demonstrate your skills on a panel of 12, and then from there you can ascend to priestesshood.
Right. There should be, just a regular, you know, congregant, you know, can give a blowjob, but can give 20 in a row. That should be, you know, the priestess right there.
Absolutely. That's, you know, there's some skills. There's some mad skills there.
Right. Show some athleticism or some creativity. Hum a song while you're doing it. You know, whatever. So we got about 2 minutes remaining. What do you want to talk about, man?
Actually, I would like to step it up on a little bit of a serious note. I've noticed that the highlight editions seem to be doing poorly in terms of listenership in comparison to, say, the Outbreak Radio or a discussion edition. So what I thought about possibly introducing, and I kind of wanted a little feedback on this, do a spotlight edition instead, where we talk about current events in the world from a left-hand path perspective. So
that sounds like a good idea.
So with 90 seconds left, if everybody comment here right now on this page as to whether they'd like to see the birth of the Spotlight Edition and the demise of the Highlight, please, just leave me a comment. And that's it, man.
Right on. Yeah, so if you want to see, or maybe just mix it up, too, where it's, you know, sometimes it's a Highlight Edition and sometimes it's a Spotlight Edition. I think it'd be worthwhile to have a show where there's some political issue or some social issue that, you know, is can affect people, especially, you know, those of us who consider ourselves independent individuals, you know, about our freedoms and everything else, you know, spotlighting this, hey, you need to be aware that this is going on, and spend an hour riffing on that, that'd definitely be cool.
Right on. Well, like I said, again, people who comments on the page right now, We got 30 seconds left, and for the people that do want to see it, start sending Lexi your show topic suggestions. So that's it, man.
All right, Bucket, we're out. Catch you later.
Thank you for listening to the Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but this is the old expression goes. Tough luck. Special thanks to Zadaraki Daroma for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is a Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?